Fly, Eagles, fly. On the road to victory. Fight, Eagles, fight. Score a touchdown. 1, 2, 3. Hit them low, hit them high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly. On the road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles.
That right there is the man, the myth, the legend himself, the late, great Kobe Bryant, who was a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. And that's how we start this episode of the Where Eagles Dare podcast off with probably one of the greatest Eagles fans of all times. A man lived and died for the Eagles. And coming into this Super Bowl, I just had to think about what Kobe would be doing right now if he were around, because this video that we have from the last Super Bowl with him holding his child as the final play played out and he was freaking out is just a masterpiece, and it brings a tear to the eye when you think about it. So I'm going to play that and we'll talk a little bit.
No, 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 no. Oh, thank God. Oh my God. Yes, we won the Super Bowl. That's it. We won the Super Bowl. Oh my God. Yeah, oh my God. Yes! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Such a great moment, and yeah, just like I said, brings a tear to the eye to remember that. And honestly, Kobe embodies all of us Eagles fans in that moment that we were all at during the last Super Bowl. But it's come around again 5 years later, and here we are. Where Eagles Dare podcast is second year in operation with Lee and Tubby, and we're going to the Super Bowl with the Eagles. And we have our hearts in our throats and on our sleeves and everywhere else, just like Kobe did that day. I want to say that back in the day, I love this, the plane touching down in Arizona with the pilot hanging, it's a Philly thing, out of the plane. It was great. But back in the day on Super Bowl 52, this is what I looked like during that final play. Me and my wife and my daughter sitting on the couch, and this was taken as the last play was unfolding. What happened after that was just amazing, because it was, you know, I ran through the house, and I had a Stein that I had bought in the 90s, and I said I would never put any alcoholic beverage in it. I'd never drink from it until the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So the first thing I did was I pulled that sucker out, filled it with a drink, and toasted the Eagles Super Bowl. I didn't even get to watch a lot of the celebration, the post-game celebration, because people were calling me all night. Yeah. That knew I was a longtime Eagles fan. All mm-hmm. the friends that you forget about, but they remember, hey, oh, he's an Eagles fan. So it was like, right. I was talking to people all night long. I taped the celebration, was able to enjoy it afterwards. But I tell you what, this, all those feelings, and you see Kobe Bryant talk, you know, celebrate the Super Bowl, and you see those pictures and you remember that time, it could all happen again on Sunday. It brings all those memories back, and it is an unbelievable feeling to know your team's got a chance at a championship, because these things are hard to win. They are not easy. I mean, if you're Tom Brady, you know, you've won a bunch of them, but even them, his Super Bowls were very difficult to win. They just happened to be in a division that was weak, and they were exploited, and they have a great coach, a great system. But outside of the Brady Patriots, man, you ask any other team, especially in the last 30 years, how hard it is to get to this game. And this is the Eagles' second Super Bowl in 5 years. And I have been trying to calm myself down. I've like, my shoulders are so tight the last couple of days. The anxiety is building up, and 2 week wait is driving me mad waiting for this game. And I can only imagine what the Eagles and Chiefs are going through right now, because it's just it's a nutty environment. So how are you feeling in your household as far as getting ready for this game?
Oh man, just as nervous as ever, man. I feel like I'm getting ready to play the Super Bowl. And that 2 weeks off, when it's your team, that 2 weeks feels like forever. When it's not your team, it's just like around the corner. You're just like, oh, you know, sometimes you forget about the Pro Bowl and you just, you know, think Super Bowl the whole time. But yeah, man, this whole week has been just, you know, just on pins and needles. You know, you see all the predictions out there and, you know, you hear this, you hear that, you see the interviews, you see the players, you know, arriving, getting loose and having their first practice and just seeing the team go through the motions and just, you know, that realization hits you. It's like, man, like the Eagles are playing in the Super Bowl, man. Here they are at media day. You know, here they are at the entrance of, you know, media day. And wow, you know, there's Sirianni. You know, there's the gang. Our Eagles are right there. I thought it was hilarious when I seen Mahomes and Hurts up there like it was a prize fight. Mm. It was Ali Frazier. Yeah, they had him sitting right. Like it was a ring. Or something, like not like a typical press conference type of style, but I thought it was pretty informal. But yeah, man, pretty excited for the game.
Yeah, with the Super Bowl between them, like it was the prize, like the championship belt. Yeah, you're right. That was, I'll be honest, I've loved the NFL since I was a kid. I'm not a huge fan of what the Super Bowl media has become, because the thing that you get, and we'll talk about it during the podcast, the thing that you'll get is these reporters that have no business covering the game from TMZ or from wherever else, and they just flood wherever they're at in the convention center or wherever they're doing this, and it takes away from these players being able to practice, prepare. It's a big distraction. I wouldn't mind it if they just met, you know, did Monday, mm-hmm. you know, did a Monday thing where it's just you get access, but it's every day
right. They
go to practice and then they have to turn around and go do more media and you get everybody, people don't even belong there. Some of the questions that they're asking, like the dude asked Nick Sirianni, which one of the Eagles would you let your daughter date? And Nick Sirianni looked at him, my daughter's four. You know, what kind of question are you asking a head coach? Even if his daughter was 19, 20, 21, what kind of question is that, dude? It's just you have no business. And then the other guy asking him if it's a must-win game. Is this a must?
Yeah.
Dude, you don't cover sports. You should not be here. But it is the rest of the world. It's like this. It's just like with the commercials and the Rihanna performance and everything. That's for everybody else. The game is for us. But the spectacle and everything that they built it into to this television event is everything else. For me, this is what it is. I got my conference champion t-shirt in the mail. Finally came today. I've had my hat, mm-hmm. my NFC championship hat for a while. I did get this beauty thing here, right here, which is the conference championship lithograph to go with the NFC East one. That's what it's about for me, is celebrating my team and being proud of their accomplishment. It's not all the media stuff, but we've learned as fans to put up with it. And there's so many stories in this Super Bowl. You can't ignore the stories. And one thing, I went to have my hair cut today in the barber shop, and I live in Dayton, Ohio. So everybody talked about the Kelce brothers being in a Super Bowl together. How cool is that? Especially because they played here at Cincinnati with this little throwback. These guys have their own podcast, first year doing their own podcast, and they end up as the first brothers to ever face each other in a Super Bowl. That's a great story. And then you've got the Rocky statue, which Travis Kelce told everybody on the podcast, do not defile this statue. Now, this is what happened after Travis Kelce said that. And if you look at the statue, this looks a little suspect to me.
I think so too.
It looks a little suspect because it's not even a real t-shirt. It's like a rag that somebody cut a hole in and drew with a Sharpie, "Let's go Chiefs." So I don't know if this jinx is going to work as far as that goes. But yes, I'll claim it if it'll help. One jinx that always tends to work, and I haven't seen any Eagles do this yet, is people putting the tattoo of the, you know, this is always a great jinx. When somebody does this and they get on the news for it or they get on social media for it, that's always a great sign. So we'll see how that works out for this gentleman if he has to do some cover up and maybe changing some years on that Super Bowl champs, or maybe hold off till the next one. I wanted to bring this picture up real quick because for us, this is kind of a crazy Super Bowl because after the Eagles won the last one, you and I went to Canton for Brian Dawkins' induction ceremony. Yep. And we, well, it was you. It was all you, because we were, we had our dinner. We met a bunch of people, the late, you know, the just so many Hall of Famers at the dinner and everything. And then after the gold jacket ceremony, we went down to the floor and they were everywhere. Eagles were everywhere and celebrities everywhere. And you, we were told our bus was going to leave. And you were like, screw the bus. We are going to go and talk to these Eagles. And right. I was like, I'm with you, man. The worst they can do is throw us out. We had credentials.
Right.
So we wandered around to the Eagles table and we got to meet a ton of guys there. Hugh Douglas, Ike Reese, got some pictures with those guys. And then Big Red. I mean, yeah. Andy was very gracious to take a photo with us. And this is the photo that we took. And we were at the time, you know, we were wishing him luck on the next season.
Right.
And it worked out for Andy. He ended up getting his first Super Bowl. All that being said, I'm not rooting for Andy this time around. We love Andy Reid here in Philadelphia, but he's made a significant step. I mean, he's first ballot Hall of Famer at this point right now, but he is the first head coach in history to win 10 playoff games with two different franchises. Wow. Which is just amazing to me, the things that that Andy Reid has done in this league. Great coach of the Eagles. When he left, it was the right thing at the right time, and he's turned this team into a winner. Of course, it helps having a guy like Mahomes there too, but Andy, a class act. I did like this during the media day when he went up to all the former Eagles players and he tugged on Jason Kelce's beard and was messing with him. And honestly, that's the one thing about this Super Bowl that makes it really kind of special is that there is this feeling of, I don't have a hatred for that team across the aisle. I don't have a team. I normally, like the Cowboys, we play them in the playoffs. When we played the 49ers a couple weeks ago, you had this animosity built up. But I don't have an animosity. I don't want to lose to the Chiefs, but I have no ill feelings toward them because of Travis Kelce, because of Andy Reid, because of Pat Mahomes. It makes it really hard to hate these guys. I'm sure when the game starts, I'll be a little bit more frustrated. But as it is right now, I'm pretty excited for this.
Absolutely, man. I mean, it's the Super Bowl, man. I mean, it's the Super Bowl. You know, lot covered there, man. Yeah, man. With old Big Red, old Andy. You know, he's just one of those likable guys. So nobody's going to be out to attack him in the first place, you know. So it's just really how he carries himself. You know, he has a good reputation around the league. So yeah, man, absolutely. Looked like a spectacular event so far. Looked like two pretty diehard fan base. You know, those Chiefs fans are pretty diehard out there. That's all they have practically in that area. Don't get me wrong, you have Kansas basketball, but we're talking about football. As far as pro sports, you have Royals had a little run, but their Chiefs have been their baby, man. You know, one of the loudest stadiums in the country. So, you know, that, and that's for a reason. That's because they have that passion, man. So, yeah, man, a lot of great stories going on. Man, a lot of Patrick Mahomes' attention. A lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
But he deserves it as well, too, because, you know, with Brady retiring, it's like, you know, the torch has been passed to Mahomes. Like, he's the new number one in the league, like, you know, as soon as Brady retires. So you can see the media kind of switching and kind of, you know, like a little coronation. Hey, you're back in your third Super Bowl. You know, I understand what the scoreline and stuff is, but people think that the Chiefs are going to win most likely because he's special. He's a special player. And, you know, in any sport, when you're talking to a special player, you just can't count them out. So they get this, you know, well-deserved praise. Yeah, man, so... You know, but because they also don't have anybody outside of Mahomes as well, too. So, you know, Eagles have more guys that they kind of know of, more guys, you know, stars like A.J. Brown. You have, you know, our quarterback has been polarizing since he's been drafted. So, you know, he's going to get a lot of attention. Former Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith. We got a lot of guys on our team, a lot of, you know, just a lot of top athletes, man. And, you know, a team that I'm just talking about the Eagles for a second, a team that was built. You know, a lot of players were drafted for the Eagles. I believe only A.J. Brown was not drafted on this starting 11. So ours is built, not bought, is the point. that'll make it. Oh, you have, here you go. You have that.
That's way ahead of you. I got
this. You know, yeah. It's been, you know, cause a lot of people try to, they'll throw little jabs at the Eagles, go like, oh, you guys kind of bought your offense is this, your offense is that. And it's like, these were the same guys that were here. They've been here. They've been here. Only new guy is one person that is new in this lineup. It's AJ Brown. The rest of the guys have been on this staff. A lot of these guys are in high draft, with the exception of Lane Johnson. We got him, you know, number four overall. Mm-hmm. But the rest of these guys are get it out the mud type of guys. We got Maya Lotta talking about bought. Maya Lotta didn't even play football before the Eagles got a hold of him. What are you talking about? Like, you know, who knew who Dallas Goedert was before he came to the Eagles? I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Before he was drafted by the Eagles. Come on, man. This guy wasn't a NCAA household name, you know? Yep. So, yeah, man, the Eagles have done well. And this is a shout out to Howie for really putting together a squad. Now, offense, now defense, that's a different story. We've done a lot of things very strategic.
Yes.
But on the defensive side, yeah, man, absolutely. He's made some fantastic pickups. But even the guys that we've drafted have still, you know, played well for us. And one thing I will note before I pass it back to you, man, if you look at this, none of these players are in this year's draft that we drafted. Our Jordan Davis, right? Who do we get in that second round? You know, Cam Jurgi, and then our linebacker from Georgia. None of these guys even really touched the field that Jordan Davis did, but that just lets you know we're still building. We have guys behind guys,
right?
And they're learning, man. So even when these guys go on, you'll see Jurgensen in there, and he'll still have draft next to him. So yeah,
exactly.
We're working hard, man. And yeah, man, really excited, you know, this team that Howie was able to put together.
Well, so to piggyback on it, like you said, Reed Blankenship's not on this list because he's a backup, but he started a lot of the season. Josiah Scott was another one who we drafted in, or undrafted free agent, one of the two, somebody that we picked up and played a lot this year due to injury. But if you look at the defensive team, like I said, bringing in Hargrave from Pittsburgh was brilliant. Bringing in Reddick, you know, Hargrave's been there a little while. Reddick's first year with us. Kazir White was a good pickup. Kazir White's not had a brilliant year, but he's had an adequate year at that spot. And of course, you know, we've had Slay for a while. Bradbury was just dumped by the Giants, so that was a steal. So again, it was Howie being Howie. Another one, Gardner Johnson, who was unwanted in New Orleans. So this defense, what I think, even though they're not all through the draft and the offense is, except for AJ, I think what makes this defense so unique and so tough is that they're like the Isle of Misfit Toys. There was so many of these guys that are cast-offs of their prior team that weren't valued by their prior team, like Bradbury, Reddick, and Gardner Johnson. And so they've united on this Eagle squad. You can't disallow the Chiefs starters as well. On their defense, they only have two guys that were not in the draft, so that's significant. Oh, yeah. But their defense isn't as a standout as the Eagles are. Let's face it, they're a decent defense, but they're not as a big standout. They've put their emphasis on bringing in these starters, right, by bringing in Juju Smith-Schuster, Valdez Scantling from Green Bay, Kadarius Toney. They brought those receivers in after losing Tyreek Hill to kind of build them up, you know, and get them some weapons for Mahomes. And that's clearly what they did. So these guys, they're a great team. But yeah, like you said, Eagles, especially their offense, is built through the draft. So it's amazing. Before we get into the game breakdown and looking at the stats of the game, because this is where it gets serious. Do the Eagles have a chance to win this game? Well, we know they do. But how are they going to win this game? And looking at the tail of the tape, the first thing we really have to look at before we get into that is who's refereeing the game? Because to be honest with you, this is always a big deal. Now, the significance is Carl Cheffers is going to be the head referee. The Eagles are 6-8 when Carl Cheffers is a referee. Kansas City is 16-7. The only caveat I can give you on this, and a little warning, is that's Carl Cheffer's crew. This crew is not Cheffer's regular crew, so you never really know how this is going to pan out. So you've got four referees or four umpires with Super Bowl experience, and that's a good thing. You've got Roy Ellison's the umpire, a line judge Jeff Bergman, the side judge Eugene Hall, and the back judge Dino Paganelli. all have Super Bowl experience, multiple Super Bowl experience. So my only hope is that them and Cheffers, who has two Super Bowls under his belt, this will all be their third Super Bowl that they've officiated. I have to go back and look at these to see. He did officiate 51, which was the big comeback by the Patriots over the Falcons, but prior to the Eagles Super Bowl. But the umpire that we had, it did the Eagles last Super Bowl, Roy Ellison. So we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
I don't like that 6-8 when Carl Cheffers is a referee, but you know, sometimes the head referee is just out there calling it. It's not the one throwing the flags. My hope is that the Eagles will be able to have a game with not a lot of flags thrown anyway, because these different crews, they throw flags at everything. In the playoffs, they tend to let them play a little bit more. It means you don't get a lot of holding calls or pass interference calls, but you have to play through that. So let's get into the statistical breakdown of the game, because when I look at this, it's very, very even, and it's spooky even. So we've got the league rankings for the Eagles and the Chiefs. The Eagles are third in points scored per game at 28.1. The Chiefs, 29 points a game. They lead the league. Points allowed per game, the Eagles are seventh in the league at 20.2. The Chiefs, 16th in the league at 21.7. Slight advantage there. Yards per game, first and third again. The Eagles with 389 a game and the Chiefs with 413. Passing yards per game, the Chiefs, of course, with Patrick Mahomes, 297 yards a game they average, which is just sick. First in the league. The Eagles, 241, ninth in the league. The rushing yards per game, this is a big advantage for the Eagles, is the rushing game. 147 yards for the Eagles, fifth in the league. 150 yards a game for the Chiefs, 20th in the league. Time of possession, fairly even. The Eagles, 10th. The Chiefs, 13th. Third down efficiency, very close here. Well, the Eagles are fourth in the league at 45%, and the Chiefs at 48% are second in the league. Sacks, first and second in the league. The Eagles with 69 sacks lead the league, and the Chiefs with 55 are second. Then you get into interceptions. The Eagles are fourth in the league with 17, and the Chiefs 21st with 11. That has to do with their defensive backs not being big of ball hawks as like the Eagles are. Looking at their offense and defensive rankings, overall, the Chiefs have the number one offense, the number one passing offense, and the 20th rushing offense out there, versus the Eagles' defense, which is ranked second overall, fifth against the pass, and 16th against the run. Now, that number has been coming up with the additions of Sue and Joseph. I don't know if we had Sue and Joseph the entire season, the Eagles would probably be somewhere in the 10th or 9th range, I believe. Yeah. Because their run defense is really improved. Looking at the Chiefs defense, however, this is where we might see a little bit of cracks. 11th overall, but 24th against the pass and 8th against the run. And then the Eagles offense is 3rd overall, 9th passing offense in the league, and 5th against the run. So the Eagles are a well-balanced attack going up against a defense that does give a lot of yardage game up. So the question is, to win this game, what do the Eagles have to do to put the Chiefs on their heels and take control? What do you think?
I think we win this game by doing what got us here. That is taking care of the football first and foremost. It can't be understated. It cannot be understated. Taking care of the football. Two, our defensive line. Everything changed when our defensive line changed this year. You just saw the shift. You saw our team become a little more dominant this year with our D-line change. Obviously, we lead the league in sacks. But, you know, the problem with that is the Chiefs are the team that gives up the least amount of sacks in the league. You know, I don't know if that's more a tribute to Patrick Mahomes. They're at least top two. Very high up there. You know, so a lot of our strengths are their strengths. so we like to sack the quarterback. Well, they don't give up a lot of sacks. You know, we don't like them throwing the ball across the middle on us. Well, they have Travis Kelce. So a lot of these backs, they have these little scat backs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has come off the IR, so he should be back for the game. They have a lot of dynamic backs, and then you have this downhill runner who, you know, can just look like a psycho at times in Pacheco running the ball. So, you know, we've done well with most running backs this year, but we still have to keep an eye on that. But really, man, the keys to winning this is putting Mahomes on his back, man. If we have Mahomes running all over the place like that Tampa Super Bowl where they didn't score a touchdown. Basically, if we can have the Tampa philosophy, having running around, making mistakes, then and tackling well, I think we should be okay, man. I think the Kansas City Chiefs just have everything that is our weakness again. A top passer. We make mediocre quarterbacks look great. Now we have a great quarterback. What is he going to do? That's a legit concern of mine of just getting death by a thousand paper cuts because Mahomes is just like, five. He'll take those five, six yarders and hope eventually one of his athletic receivers or playmaker like Kelsey can take it another 30, 40 yards, man. So they have what scares me overall. It's not necessarily their defense. I mean, yeah, it is their defense as well, too. Second to us in sacks, so they can get to the quarterback. You know, we have a quarterback that's a little bit labored. Is he going to get hurt? You know, so they just have a lot of things, man. But in order for us to win, we keep Mahomes running around like the Bucks did, and we just play our game, take care of the ball. I think we can be in it to the end. Really do.
Yeah, for me, it does. Like you said, you talk about our weaknesses and not being able to defend the pass as well as we would like. You know, to talk to Slay and Bradbury, they will disagree with us that they have one of the best passing in defense, and statistically they do. One of the things that I've been doing just for fun this week is I've been going through and rewatching all the games this year just to lead up to the Super Bowl. So I'm watching like the 45 minute condensed version on NFL Plus. So I've been watching these games. I'm already up to the Dallas game. And what I've noticed is the Eagles offense, the only time that they get stopped is by a penalty, a silly penalty, or the play calling is weak, you know, calling the wrong play at the wrong time. But otherwise, this team, even on third and long, you can expect them to maybe get the first down because of Hurts' abilities, Goddard downfield, AJ downfield, Devontae downfield. The one thing that seemed to me to hurt in all of these games I watched, because I've watched the first six games over again, is the fact that we get out to leads in these games, except for the Jacksonville game, and then we let teams back in with the soft zone because it seems to me Gannon, you get up by two touchdowns and he's already dropping people back in coverage, trying to hold on to a lead rather than trying to force more turnovers. Another big thing in the first six games that I noticed watching them back is the amount of turnovers that we had that turned over games. I rewatched the Vikings game back and I was surprised because my memory knew that as a blowout. But Kirk Cousins had several drives that he moved into Eagles territory that the Eagles forced into interceptions, three to be specific, where if the Eagles don't get those turnovers, those would have led to points that could have put the Eagles on their heels. There was the big one with the Slay on Jefferson where he cut him off to his path off to the ball. So they were getting to, and then there was another one in the end zone that Slay had in that game. So for me, It all comes down to, like I've said, each and every game in these playoffs, it is how the coaching goes on both sides of the ball. To me, I think that the players that the Eagles have top to bottom could win the Super Bowl going away if the coaches make the right calls and don't put them in a bad position. Meaning Shane Steichen, I think that the Chiefs with our offensive line can be run on. They just have to make sure that they set the tone and get our backs involved so that Hurts can then go downfield with some comfort, you know, and bring the Chiefs, you know, the backs up a little bit into covering the run. And on the other side, it always comes down to Gannon. How does he play Patrick Mahomes? We know that our weakness, and we've talked about it, is the middle and tight ends. Edwards cannot cover Travis Kelce. He cannot. I love Edwards. Do not put him on Travis Kelce. If you watch the Bengals game, they had their slot corner and a linebacker on Travis, so they at least had a double coverage scheme.
Right, right.
And once the Bengals went to that, it took Travis out of the game.
Oh yeah.
The Eagles need to deploy something similar where we have Avante Maddox and Edwards. I'd be okay with if they're covering Kelce out of the backfield. But it's key to be able to cover that middle because we've not done it well this year.
Right.
Tight ends, watching the games back, tight ends are always open because they're a low priority for this defense. We try to stop the wideouts from having big games, but are those underneath throws to running backs that lead to big gains and the plays to the tight ends are tough. And so that's what the Chiefs do well. Like you said, plays to Kelce will kill us. And I, the other one that I'm really scared of in this game is Pacheco, Isaiah Pacheco. This is a guy that didn't really start until midway through the season when Edwards-Helaire got banged up. They wouldn't put him in there, but once he got a spot, he's electrifying. He has over almost 900 yards rushing, and he wasn't a starter until midway through the season. That's a lot of yards for this kid, and he runs angry.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they do is the passes to him out of the backfield tend to go for big gains. So he's somebody I would put a star next to. I'd be like, you got to stop him and you got to stop Kelce. The receivers, I think they could be a factor. You know, we know Mecole Hardman's going to be out, but Juju's going to be playing. And you know that Kadarius Toney's going to be playing. So we know that they're going to have receivers out there. But I do trust our corners to be able to play decent enough on them to limit their gains and to maybe force Mahomes into interceptions. But it's that other part. It's that intangible over the middle to the tight end of the backs that kill me. So yeah, that's my biggest concern. I think offense and defensively, we've got the players that can win this. And I think we've got players that could win this big, but they have to be put in the right position. And we're going to find out on Sunday.
Yeah, man. You know, they say, you know, when I was looking at this game, just think about like other Super Bowls. You know, the one that came to mind was that 2013 Super Bowl where you have where you have Peyton Manning, you know, against the Seattle Seahawks, right? You know, they just get Peyton Manning out there. And the reason why this year was significant, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because, you know, how high powered the Chiefs offense is. Just to put it, you know, give you a little reference. I think about the fourth game of the season, the Eagles played the Broncos, and the Broncos put up 52 points on the Eagles. And I remember Peyton Manning all cheekily saying, oh, Thunder's going to need an IV or something like that. He's been running all day. And I was just like, man. But then the next week, they put up 51 against the Cowboys. That's 103 points in 2 weeks. Then they put up 51 points against the Titans. Rolling, get all the way to the Super Bowl, 8 points in the Super Bowl. They don't even score until there was triple zeros on the third quarter clock. They didn't even get on the board until basically the start of the fourth quarter. If you can have the greatest regular season of your life, man, but this game is something different about this game. This is the Super Bowl, and it's different. We're talking about one of the greatest passers of all times who had Demaryius Thomas, when it, you know, all pro at that time. And Demaryius Thomas was no slouch. He was like our A.J. Brown. You know, RIP to Demaryius Thomas. But, you know, he was one of the reasons why, you know, they did their thing. He was the reason why Tebow was able to beat the Steelers. On that, remember that play? But anyway.
Yeah.
I bring that up because they pounded the Eagles that year and went on and put 8 points up in the Super Bowl with somebody who is synonymous with passing and Peyton Manning, man. So there's more than one way to win the game. You know, is our Jalen Hurts that Russell Wilson? It has that Russell Wilson vibe to it, you know, still in that rookie contract, has these monsters around him and can get it done, man. And I can only hope, man. We, you know, he has that Peyton Manning in 2013 performance where it just falls apart somehow, some way. That's just my only little hope, man.
Yeah, I'm so, right there.
With yeah, you. Man. History. But we can beat him.
I think with the Hurts thing is I really want him. Because he hasn't had to throw for a lot of yards in these playoffs. I mean, with the Eagles have run the ball extremely well, the 200 yard plus yards against the Giants. And then we know what happened in San Francisco that they're still salty about when we just ran the ball down their throat. So I expect more of that in this game. But I think to win this game, Jalen's going to have to be put up some passing yards. Maybe not 300.
He's going to play well.
Yeah.
Maybe not 300. He's going to play well. Because to me, when I hear a passing, I think Mahomes gets back on the field. I think as long as Mahomes can stay on the sideline, and how do you keep a quarterback on the sideline? Yeah. Keeping the clock running. So, and that just so happens to be something that we do really, really well when we can. I do think he's definitely going to have to throw it through the air for sure because how fast the Chiefs can score. So every drive is not going to be able to be these methodical pound you out drives, but we also can score, you know, pretty quickly as well too. We were putting up some pretty impressive second quarters, you know, all year where we can really explode on the team. But yeah, man, absolutely. Hurts is definitely, I just don't put a number. He's going to have to, how about, he's going to have to pass efficiently. The numbers, that could be here or there. That's all determined on field position. He has to pass efficiently.
Right.
And as long as he passes efficiently, they are in trouble. If Hurts comes out here and passes the ball, they are in trouble. That's the worst case. That's the worst nightmare for Kansas City Chiefs. Is the Hurts to lead that game up 70% or something on passing. Oh, that's a bad day for the Chiefs, man.
Well, what's interesting about the Eagles' offensive weapons, if you watch them all season, is they've got a three-headed monster in Goddard, Smith, and Brown. And what watching these games back, one of the things that I want to see in this game is what they were doing early on in the season with A.J. lining him up in the slot and then sending him on slants. And what AJ was doing is once he got those balls quick, he was able to get a lot of yards after the catch because he was able to pound his way through these defensive backs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it led to some big plays downfield.
Okay.
And I think the same thing with Goddard. One of the things Goddard does is on those tight end screens where it doesn't matter if it's even covered. As soon as the ball's in Goddard's hands, he's like a Brahma bull. He just gets the steam running and he will go for 10 to 15 yards or more. And of course, we know what Devontae Smith can do because he makes clutch catches. So I want to see the players shine in the Super Bowl and do their thing. Whether those are 5 to 10 yard receptions to keep drives going, like you said, whether it's Boston Scott, Gainwell, or Miles Sanders doing their thing in the backfield, I think the offensive line can do that. I think they can protect Jalen against this team. They are going to have Frank Clark coming in, who is one of the big ones, and Chris Jones coming in.
Yeah,
those are two guys you got to watch out for. But
big time.
But I think that the D-line can hold. We got all 5 starters relatively healthy. Lane's still dealing with the injury, but he's definitely going to play. We've got great, adequate backups if any of them goes down, which is something we haven't had in the past. So it does, when you look at that on the offensive side of the ball, it does all go back to the defense. Does this defense, is Mahomes still gimpy? Can Reddick, I one of the things I saw today that really made me smile was Chris Long has got his podcast out and he was at media day talking to the different players and he talked to Sweaty and Hassan Reddick. And he said to Sweaty, he said, everybody knows your name now. You're a star now. And Josh Sweat looked at him. He said, nope, one more game. They will though. One more game. They will. And so to me, is this the day that Sweat and Reddick meet at Mahomes, you know, cause we can't let them get out of that pocket, but man, if they meet at Mahomes and take him down, that the Eagles can really, really force some mistakes. Because that's what the Eagles have done all year. Brandon Graham, with those double-digit sacks, Fletcher Cox, Hargrave, and Reddick and Sweat, they've not just sacked the quarterback and forced fumbles. They've caused interceptions with their disruption, with their pressure. And that's what I want to see Mahomes feel on that defensive side of the ball. So it's be regardless of defensive scheme that Gannon's running. If though that front five can force Mahomes into mistakes, I think if the Eagles can get at least 2 interceptions from Mahomes, it's going to be their game.
Speaking.
And that's not an impossible feat.
Speaking of Mahomes, and this is one of the other reasons why I didn't want to put this particular stats on Jalen, but just more of like efficient, you know, stuff like that, because efficiency can cover anything. Patrick Mahomes, the one, people say, top 5 of all time. Some people say top 2. Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Passer rating on average. Passer rating of 64 on average. 556 yards. It means he averaged about 275 a game. 2 touchdowns. 4 interceptions. He has a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. And this is, we're talking about one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to put that unnecessary pressure or the numbers on Jalen's, because history doesn't tell you that that's what's necessary to win a good game. But you do have to be efficient. You can't, but even in the game that they won, when they beat San Fran in that comeback, they stunk it up against San Fran. And remember, they stunk it up against Houston. Remember that first half against Houston? Deshaun Watson, they came out and jumped on them. They were down like 21-0. And that Mahomes magic. But this is how your legend builds. So even in the game they won, 2 picks, 2 interceptions, 286, so they needed that comeback. And you have Damian Williams, not even Mahomes, Damian Williams icing the game with that long touchdown at the end, which is that running game. But they got back in that game due to Mahomes for sure.
Yeah.
But it shows that balance, man. And then when he isn't playing well at all, you see the results against the Tampa game. 53% passing, two picks, 270 yards. And he was running for his life all day, throwing the ball like Superman, completely horizontal, mm-hmm. having to throw the ball. That's the day that we want Mahomes to have, man. And just giving you two contrasts. Yeah, you could play really, really bad and it looks terrible, but you can play good enough and still win the game, man, and still win the game. So, and I think that's what Jalen can do. I think he's going to be efficient. I think all his scars help him here. Mm. He's been in some of the most polarizing situations that any young kid has been in. He's 24 years old. We're still talking about a 24-year-old quarterback here.
Right, right.
In his third year in the league, having dealt with a lot of national pressure at so many levels, you know, so many curveballs thrown at him. So I hope all of those things help him in this situation where the moment isn't too big. Everybody's going to be nervous. You're not nervous, then I would be nervous if you weren't nervous. So I think they are going to take this game serious like he takes everything else. And I just feel like, you know, as long as we have him on the field, man, we're never really out of it. So I'm never going to get too high or too low like always this year. Just wanting to play good football. But I know where our weaknesses are, and that's what keeps me up at night, our weaknesses. Yeah. Just that middle, just Kelce, over the middle, Kelce, Kelce, Kelce. Because we look at just numbers. Kelce and A.J. Brown, similar seasons besides the catches, but yards and touchdowns. A.J. has more yards. Kelce has more touchdowns. And that's being the number one guy. We're not even talking about the numbers that Devontae Smith got from A.J. So, and Dallas Goedert, our tight end in itself, is still an exceptional tight end. So, yeah, man, we have the pieces, but they are ultra dangerous. But Mahomes is not perfect, man. He's not perfect. And, yeah, man, we need him to be not perfect again on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything you said. It is going to be a challenge, but I think this game could go a multiple different ways depending on how it gets started and the Eagles' game plan. Like you said, if we can get flush Mahomes but take away his outlets in Kelce and Pacheco, then I think the Eagles have a really good shot. And it really, to me, it comes down to how Gannon plays this defense. He wants to prove that he is the best defensive coordinator out there. He's taken a lot of flack, and a lot of people are saying they don't know why, because of his defense being one of the top ranked. And the reason it is because of the soft zone coverage. But if he runs that and it works as far as the disguising the coverage, then so be it.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that I think that is still fuel to the fire that I'm kind of enjoying, because I know the Eagles are 1.5-point favorites, which is silly to me.
I think
with
so.
Everybody,
I'm glad you said it, because I was thinking the same thing. But anyway, sorry.
Everybody's talking about the Chiefs. Everybody thinks they're going to win, and yet the Eagles are 1.5-point favorites. I'm like, who does that? And, you know, it just seems like an odd thing, because they prefer to be the underdogs. Well, what I do love is the criticism that the Eagles have been hearing from the media and from teams that they've played. We had the Giants coming out, Love, the player for the Giants, saying that the Nick Sirianni doesn't deserve Coach of the Year be nominated because the team runs itself. And he won like the Fox Coach of the Year or whatever, which is not the real one. The real honors are Thursday night at 9. So whatever. And again, so he comes out and says that. But yet everybody else says that Jalen Hurts is a system quarterback. So you can't have it both ways. And then you get other Giant players that are salty. But the ones who are really the most salty, because the Giants really have no excuses. They just got beat down. So they can say all they want. It doesn't matter. The thing that is like the really salty ones are the 49ers right now. And this is, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Other than the Dez didn't catch it ball. That's the only one I've seen that even comes close to what the 49ers players are doing. Brandon Ayuk saying that, you know, that if I were going to bet on this game, I would take everything I own, get it in cash and put my money on the Chiefs, because what he said was that he knew what the Eagles could do against the pass, and they were going to exploit that, and they were going to expose the Eagles, but they never got a chance because their quarterback got injured. And then you had this week, just a day or so ago, Christian McCaffrey saying the NFC Championship game was stolen and that he hopes both teams lose because it was unfair for them to not have a quarterback. I have never seen a team come out and whine like this about it. And I love that the Eagles are getting to hear this, because that just means that they have more to prove, because the only way to shut guys up like Ayuk and McCaffrey is by going out there and winning it all and shoving it right up their ass, because this kind of stuff is ridiculous to me. And it's like people have said
on that.
So I have one thing to say about this, other than the fact that their quarterbacks, you only had two of them, and you knew who you had as the backup to Purdy, and you went into that game knowing you had it. And I said it last week. They didn't get hurt falling off the bus. They didn't get hurt falling out, running from the tunnel. They didn't get hurt falling off the bench. They got hurt in the game. But here's why I think teams like, and this is all I'm going to say about it, because I'm done with these guys after this, because it occurred to me. The reason teams like the Giants and more so the 49ers and the Cowboys and others are salty to me, that they're really, really offended and hurt, is because the media told them how great they were.
Yeah.
The media told the 49ers they were the best team in football, and it was all but a lock that they were going to the Super Bowl. They told the Cowboys, you were the best team. Don't worry about the records. You're the best team in the NFC East. It's all going to shake out. Mm-hmm. You're going to win the division, and then you're going to play the 49ers in the NFC Championship game, and the best team's going to win, and they're going to go to the Super Bowl. And they believed it. I believe their fans believed it. I believe of the Cowboys and 49ers, and I believe especially the 49ers believed the hype. When you look at their schedule, however, because people want to talk about the Eagles' schedule, the 49ers had the 25th ranked schedule in the league. Everybody says, well, the Eagles only beat the Giants and a broken down quarterback to get to the Super Bowl. The 49ers only beat the Seahawks. Now, granted, Geno had a decent year and was able to do something, but Giants, Seahawks, they're about the same. They're no different.
Good point.
And they broke Tony Pollard's leg to get to the NFC Championship game. If Tony Pollard plays that game against the 49ers, I don't know if the 49ers win that game. So they're sitting there whining about, oh, the Eagles haven't they've had it easy. And I'm like, you guys are hypocrites. But the reason they're hypocrites is because they were told this was their year. It's like the Cowboys every year. The Cowboys fans aren't as obnoxious as they seem. The reason they're obnoxious is because they watch too much sports media, and they're told every year, this is your year.
Yeah.
This is it. And they go in there believing it. They become insufferable. And then when they lose, they punch their TVs and they run over their TVs and they burn their jerseys. The Eagles fans, you could say whatever you want about them. The Eagles fans do not do that crap.
Right.
First of all, because they're blue collar and jerseys cost a hell of a lot of money.
Right.
I don't know what they're making in Dallas to be able to run over TVs, punch TVs, and burn jerseys.
Oil money.
Exactly. But that's the thing, is that they start believing their own press.
Oh yeah.
And then when they lose, and a team like the Eagles, who they can't stand, go in their place, it's devastating and it's earth shattering to them. So that's come up during this thing. And so the reason I bring it up is because I do think the Eagles are hearing that this week. How can you not? They're there in Super Bowl media day. And I think it's something that gives, I'm always looking for an edge. You know, what is going to give the Eagles that bite? What does Kansas City have to give them that bite? The Eagles aren't giving them anything. The Eagles are very respectful. They're not talking trash. Even Darius Slay and Brendan Graham are not saying anything too crazy. So what team's going to get fired up and by what? It makes a big difference.
Yeah, man. I mean, both of these teams, luckily, are led by, they have pretty good captains as their leaders. They have good teammates all across the board. So I expect both teams, man, fan bases to the side. I think both of these squads are going to be well fired up for this game. Well fired up.
I agree. We talked about all the stats and everything about these two quarterbacks. One of the things that was really interesting, and I'm sure you've seen this, is that this crazy stat line here, the Chiefs record this year, 16-3, the Eagles 16-3, Chiefs 546 points scored, the Eagles 546 points scored, the Chiefs 6 all pros, including a Kelsey brother and their quarterback, and the Eagles the same. 6 all pros, Kelsey brother and their quarterback, AFC's number one seed and the NFC's number one seed. So truly, after all is said and done, no matter what the 49ers want to say, no matter what anybody wants to say, the Eagles and the Chiefs are the two number one seeds. They deserve to be in the spotlight, and God bless them. This is, of course, the quote so far of the Super Bowl media day for me. Jalen Hurts was asked about what was his best play of the season. And he said, the season's not over. And that's going to be on a bunch of T-shirts if they win this Super Bowl, because that epitomizes Jalen Hurts. And I think everybody's been talking about that, is that, you know, Mahomes, for all his talent, for all his raw ability and the ability to make plays, Jalen has come into this season, and it can't be said enough of how he carries himself and how these players look to him to say the right things. Darius Slay was making fun of it the other day, but he meant it in with respect. All the things that Jalen says to them over and over again, you know. And you've got, look at this guy, going back just 4 years after being benched in the national title game, Jalen Hurts is starting in the Super Bowl, and that's perseverance. I mean, and Alabama's still trying to claim this guy now after they let him go. I love all the Bama stuff, but man, Jalen, no matter what happens in this outcome now, you know, if the Eagles lose, I'll be disappointed. The only thing I'll be really, really disappointed, if Jalen Hurts plays poorly, I'll feel bad for him, because I know that's not who he is.
Yeah.
And I want to see him play well. I really, really do. You know who else, you know, I said on the offensive side for the Chiefs, I think Kelce is a big factor, and I think Pacheco is a big factor. You're going to be surprised when I say who I think the biggest factor could be for the Eagles in this Super Bowl. And it's somebody that I have overlooked all year long, and he's just come through in these playoffs, and that's Kenneth Gainwell. I think that we're going to see a lot of Gainwell. I mean, we're going to see all three backs. And I think Gainwell is one of these backs, when he's in there, he gets overlooked because he's not Miles Sanders.
Oh yeah.
And when he gets through that line, similar to the way Sanders hits those holes, he just tends to make things happen. And I hope that he's a big factor in this game on Sunday. I'd like to see Gainwell have a good game, get a touchdown, and like he did in the Giants game, over 100 yards, which is just crazy.
A dark horse MVP candidate, you know, a dark horse, because he's been closing out games for us better than any of our running backs. He's been kind of our closer. I mean, but they obviously saw something in him by making him the third down back and giving him the ball in the most pressure situations, which is third down. I mean, fourth, obviously, but third and short, man, he's carried that responsibility all year. And towards the end of the season, he's been trending up. He has been in great form. And yeah, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a Corey Clement type Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, just good making point. One play, those special moments that you don't expect the Corey Clement to you know, be a big factor. But you know, that catch, man, with the switching arms was, you know, iconic and just memorable and a hell of a play, man. A lot of Eagles players made big plays. Jeffries, Ertz, Philly, big Tom Brady dropping the ball. Big plays.
Yeah.
Big plays. All things just big plays, man. Man, what a day. I think Slay is due for a day. I think Slay is due. You notice, man, Slay didn't get the honors that people thought he would. Bradberry did, man. Because you look at those numbers, you know, I know it seems harsh when you're talking about one of the best players, but I don't have a cut card, man. I've been calling Slay out a lot this year. He still missed that tackle on that McCaffrey run. He could have cleaned that up. Okay, Epps missed it, but Slay could have cleaned that up. That was a piss-poor tackle, piss-poor Temple McCaffrey, you know. So he hasn't been in good form, man. So I just hope he just has a special day for us, man, because he's due. I think he's due. I think Jalen's due for a blow-up game, too, because he's been kind of, you know, the Eagles haven't needed him to have an explosive game. You know, against the Bears, he toughed it out and did what was necessary. And then the rest of the games, you know, once we got ahead or got control of the game, we were able to, you know, run the ball well. So I still think we have all the tools, man, and the Eagles definitely be fired up.
Well, I will say right here that I, for one, was not a fan of Gainwell coming in on third down, because I'm a big Miles Sanders guy. But I think that the way they've managed it, I think that just about, you know, any back could run behind this line, but these guys are making it their mission to perform all three, and they performed great in the playoffs, and I expect them to perform great in the Super Bowl. I hope. One of the things is that was great to come out of this too is, speaking of the offensive line, Jeff Stoutland was signed to an extension for keeping our unbelievable offensive line coach in Philly. It's just going to make a difference with guys like Cam Jurgens coming up and Driscoll and that we have to develop, because we may lose some guys next year. We may lose Dillard. We may lose Simmel. I don't know. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I will say this, if all those out there, you're coming in the Super Bowl, I ran into a lot of people in Cincinnati after the Bengals lost. They're not jumping ship yet, but they're rooting for the Eagles for the Super Bowl. So for all of you other teams, like if you're a 49er fan and you're a little sad, we have this form for you right now. It is the bandwagon transfer form. All you got to do is put down your current bandwagon, your date of birth, your gender. Gender's optional, but then you have to put your reason for transfer, whether it's a player trade, a team became unpopular, a team has a losing record, or other, like in the case of the Cowboys, can't get there since 1995. Last team you were a fan of, we have to know that. Are you a first-time bandwagoner, or is this just something you always do? If so, how long have you been a bandwagoner? Then the history. We need to know who you've been. Like, were you a Niners fan in the 80s? You know, were you a Cowboys fan in the 90s and a Patriots fan? And now, you know, because Tom Brady's gone, you're looking for something else, or maybe it was Packers. Who knows? So the big thing here on this is that for multiple bandwagoners, please use the backside of the form if you need additional teams spaces to list other than three. And then we need to know how long you plan to stay with the Eagles. Are you going to stay 1 year, the duration of a player's contract like A.J. Brown, or as soon as their original team starts to win, then you'll leave? So that'll be out there, so for you can pick that up wherever you want and join the Eagles bandwagon. I tell you what, I've been on a few fan pages, and I can't believe how these fan pages have blown up, and there's a bunch of people that are not Eagles fans that are all of a sudden rooting for Eagles fans this year and just want to be a part. And that's how a lot of these people do. They don't watch the NFL regularly. Super Bowl comes around, and then they pick a team and say that that's what they're going to do. But you and I, that's not the case. We've been, since birth, we have been Eagles fans, and we always will be, in win or lose. And like I said, they lose this Super Bowl, I'm not going to be running over a TV, not going to be punching a baby. Right. I'm not going to be setting a baby on fire, a jersey on fire, whatever they did. Whatever. I'm not doing any of that. I did like the 49ers video where the guy gets mad and he goes to punch his TV. And then he takes a rag out and he cleans it. And he goes, man, these are expensive. I ain't doing that. But it is what it is. It's going to be insane. I almost bit the bullet. I almost dropped the $3,000. But then there's so many other things to think about, because it's $1,000 flight and then $2,000 for hotel. And it's like, by the time just me alone going was going to be almost $10,000. So I was like, yeah, you know what? If they win. We will do our Super Bowl recap from Philly at the parade. We'll get some footage of the parade and incorporate that into the final podcast of the season if the Eagles win and we feel pretty good. So as we come down to the end, what is your score prediction for this game? Do you venture a guess? I'm always afraid of that, because I think I'm going to jinx them. So
yeah. I really can't call this. I do see the, I'm always going to pick my birds. I think it's going to come down to the wire, man. I really do. I see the birds squeaking it out, 31-28 in a absolute roller coaster game. But somehow the Eagles prevail. Maybe Buckner misses one and Elliott, does what he did before for us and nails one. And we ride off into the sunset and we back saying the Eagles anthem and everything. I may even fly to the parade. This was in my brain right now. I may even go, but it'll be a hard turnaround. But I think 31-28, man, birds.
So I'm going to go with first of all, before I give my score, shout out to Elliot. We haven't mentioned him. I've been watching these games back and watching the Cowboys back where he hit a 58-yarder. In that game against the Cowboys, which was huge. He's been solid for us, so let's hope that continues. Got to give him a shout out. We don't give him enough credit. He's had games where it's been all him, 5 field goals. Right. The Eagles have put in position, and they've scored points because of Elliott. We hope that Sipos is back, because Kern has not played well in the playoffs. I think that he's been activated as far as the injuries go. We're looking pretty good on the injury front. Maddox is still dealing with the toe, but he's going to play. And Lane Johnson still dealing with the groin, but he's going to play. I don't think there's any starter that's not going to get on that field. Right. I just wonder about Sipos as far as punting. Hopefully he'll be out there. I think he will. I hope so. a current, I mean, it's not horrible, horrible, but it's not optimal to have him out there. So there was a script that was floating around on social media that went out there and said, and people have gone nuts because everybody's talking about the NFL being scripted. And so I'm going to go with that score, the Eagles 37, Chiefs 34, because that's the script and that's what they were given. So I'm going to go with that one. I really hope it's a blowout because my heart can't take it. I've really enjoyed the first two games of the playoffs where the Eagles, it was kind of over by halftime. So then I could just enjoy the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we're going to get that in the Super Bowl. I think halftime, when Rihanna comes out and we got a 25 minute halftime to deal with, I'm going to be stressing out just like I was when they played the Patriots, just wanting the game to be over, just to read all zeros and for the Eagles to be in front to celebrate. I tell you what, celebrating the first Super Bowl was a dream come true. It's one of the highlights of my life. And I want another one. I want to feel that feeling again for an entire off season, like I did in 5 years ago when we went to the Hall of Fame and just enjoyed it. I think for me, going to the parade will, if they win, will be the icing on the cake, being able to go celebrate with other Eagles fans and enjoy the camaraderie and the fact that the Eagles, because Eagles fans, you can say what you will about them. If you hate Eagles fans, if you're out there and you're not a fan of the Eagles and you hate Eagles fans, mm-hmm. you don't know Eagles fans. That's all I'm going to say, is you just don't know them. When you're among them, they're a different class of people. Some may be crazy, mm-hmm. Some may be cool, but they're brought together by the shared love of a team with a rich history, and hopefully on Sunday, a team that will be two-time Super Bowl champions. So we're going to see. Anything can happen. This has been a fun season doing the Where Eagles Dare podcast with you, Tubby. I appreciate it. It's been crazy. The fact that here we are coming into the Super Bowl. We got it coming up on Sunday. We know the date. We know the time, 6:30 on Fox. Oh, I'm so glad Chris Collinsworth isn't calling this one. I don't have to rewatch the Super Bowl from 5 years ago, and I just wanted to reach through my screen and choke that guy out so bad. So glad he's not commentating. I think it's Greg Olson and the other guy. So I'm much happier about our commentary team. But that's going to be on Sunday, and we're excited for it. Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, we haven't mentioned. First time two black quarterbacks starting in the quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, making history. So it's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it. I'll have my Jalen Hurts jersey on, ready to go. I haven't watched it in a while, but how can you? That's the rule.
Right.
They're on a streak. You don't do it. So it's starting to stand on its own, but that's how it is. Thank you for tuning into the Where Eagles Dare podcast, whether you watch us on the live stream on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live, or whether you're one of our regular podcast listeners on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and so many others. If you want to email us, you can do so at our email address, lee.bird, that's lee.byrd, eaglesdare@gmail.com. Super Bowl Sunday is upon us, and the Eagles are in it. With all that being said, I'm going to turn it over for Tubby for his final words of the week.
Man, what a season. What a season. You literally couldn't have asked for your team to play any better until this point. You just need them one more game. Just one more game, one more tackle, one more catch, one more touchdown. Cover every blade of the grass, and hopefully we'll be coming back singing, "Fly, Eagles, fly."
And go Birds. Let's win a championship, guys. We're out. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We will.
Let's go.